26-14, the final. Cardinals fall to the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Yes, Bickley gets his free lunch. We'll keep you updated on the progress of that.
Yeah,
he shakes me down for some free.
Yeah,
food.
and a lot of readers think a stunning amount seem to think I was too hard on the football team in my analysis. This is a problem. If you're cool with what you watched yesterday, if that's good for, if that's worth your time, then you really need to raise your standards.
No, I think if you are that pleased with what you saw yesterday, then you're definitely subscribing to the moral victory theory.
Exactly. That's exactly
the Cardinals
right.
Fall to 2-7. There was some good things. Obviously, coming out and scoring on your first drive in both the first and second halves, very positive. Nothing outside of that offensively. David Johnson put up numbers. We'll share our thoughts on that in a little bit. The offensive line continues to be a real concern. 260 yards of offense and 14 points. If that marks improvement, how low was the starting point with this offense to begin the year? I think those are all legitimate questions. We open up the phone lines every Monday to the fans to talk some Cardinals football. 602-260-9870. Let's not wait. Let's go right out to the phones. Out to Glendale. Tom's up first here on Bickley and Marotta. What's up, Tom? Tom, you there?
Yes, Tom, how are you?
Oh, Gilbert, Tom and Gilbert, not Glendale, my brother. Sorry. I was looking for the wrong. All right, first of all, the only thing the Cardinals won yesterday was the coin toss. In response,
gave up a touchdown and down in 56 seconds. Steve Wilks says after the game, all the credit goes to Kansas City, they were well prepared. You had 2 weeks to prepare a team for the first minute of the game. Not the game, but for the first minute. You had to know if we...
All right, let's
see if we can reconnect with Tom, see if he calls back.
All right, that's fine.
You cut him off, right, Jarrett?
Yes.
Yeah, his phone was very... Yeah,
it was causing some issues.
I like to hear from Tom on Monday.
Very
so.
Hard Absolutely. On the ears. Yes, we'll throw him a lifeline.
I also think he walked into a wind chime at the beginning of that.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? He did. You could hear it.
All right, let's go out to Mesa and talk to Jeff here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I think that wind chime was him stepping outside to have a cigarette to calm his nerves to talk about the Cardinals.
You might be right.
but I'm looking at it, and I've got two things to say, and it's a little off the mark. We knew that we drafted Bradford, and he was injury-prone, and we know we're employing young Josh in his place. And I know we got a salary cap that is going to have a big, fat wallet on it, but as I'm looking at it, what were the major investments to initialize a protection plan for whatever quarterback we had? And if you want to have consistency on an offensive side, you got to be able to protect the quarterback first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is to go into a Doolin Gambo's, I'm looking at Yupati. It looks like he's getting a little too old. Or Justin Pugh, he gets hurt again. J.J. Nelson can't catch, can't run, can't do anything with there. Buck Showalter!
Buck Showalter! Come on. There you go.
But all I'm looking at is if the Cardinals are going to do something next year, we've got basically a 10-game preseason, now 9-8, and we're looking as we're counting down, where are we growing, where are we going to go with it? I'm just very curious to see how the Cardinals invest their money next year, free agency and the draft. And yeah. I love you guys. You guys
thanks,
have
Jeff,
a good
brother.
Day.
You too. Appreciate the call. I think Jeff brings up a good point. They're going to have money to spend. And I don't want to support this notion that the problems on the offensive line are just neglect or dereliction of duty, as you like to say.
Uh-huh.
Look at the line. The way it was supposed to be constructed this year, okay? Left tackle, DJ Humphreys, first-round pick. Mike Yupati, once upon a time, big-money free agent. Center, A.Q. Shipley as your incumbent. Mason Cole is a draft pick this year. Right guard, big money contract for Justin Pugh. You got Andre Smith on the cheap but a veteran. So they invested in this line.
Yeah.
It was supposed to work out better than this. And between Well, injuries have obviously been an issue. This entire offense has been an issue all season long. But that's where it gets fuzzy for me, Bic. Are they identifying the right talent for this offensive line?
Yeah.
I think you can ask that question quite seriously.
Well,
this has been a 3-year issue.
There's no doubt about it. And I think then when you get into this, are they building the proper cohesiveness? Every NFL team, as you know, and I even saw somebody say this recently, that an offensive line is the nerve center of your football team.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what level of football you are on, if you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going to be good. And so this is just kind of this recurring Groundhog Day nightmare is intolerable. And now the stakes have been raised because you're dealing with a young rookie quarterback. And that is what really bothers me. Is they had built themselves into a way where they could have won that game yesterday, and then their biggest weakness said, here you go, Kansas City, ole!
Uh-huh.
And that's what the game became.
Yep, 602-260-9870, the phone number. Sally in Tempe is up next here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Sally?
Hey, guys. I love Steve Keim, and I think his job's okay for this year, but if he doesn't get us an offensive line for next year, goodbye.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment, because Steve Keim has done a lot of good things, and there's a lot of things that didn't work out. The 2018 draft class looks great. The 17 draft class looks horrific. Okay, but the offensive line was the first thing he vowed when he took over in 2013. And you've seen the guys that we've been trotted through here recently. Will Holden, Evan Bain,
Coltona. Corey Cunningham.
Speaking of Corey Cunningham, where's he been?
I mean, seventh-round pick, so the learning curve is there, too. But, I mean, Andre Smith really struggled yesterday.
Oh.
It was hard to watch at times. I mean, between getting beat and giving up hits and sacks to the holding penalties, 3 holding penalties on him yesterday, he really had a tough time out there. And look, that's on tape now. And it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs have the world's greatest pass rush. Dee Ford's a monster, and he was a monster yesterday. But you're going to face pass rushers every single week that are going to try to exploit that now unless you make an adjustment either personnel-wise
that's
or scheme-wise.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's out there for everybody to view. Do the Raiders have anybody that can get to the quarterback? They used to. I don't know if they do anymore, but...
Well,
whoever's lining up on those edges is going to try to exploit it.
I will say this then, for those who, we made progress yesterday. If you're that person, then you better believe that Sunday's game against the Raiders is a must-win game. If you really believe that yesterday, and to me it is, because that will be the defining line whether or not the Chiefs viewed this as a trap game. I wanted to see the team perform well, and I wanted them to play close to validate what they did in the fourth quarter against San Francisco, which was the first game under Byron Leftwich.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see Byron Leftwich and that offense take the bye week and use it to get better. And I think that they did in some places. The offensive line ruined that, in my opinion. The defensive game plan, very shaky start. The miscommunication was an issue. But they ended up sacking Patrick Mahomes 5 times. Nobody else has ever had more than 2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
They held them to lows on the season in points and yardage. Now, you can look at that and go, man, our defense is great. That just makes me even more angry. Like, okay, where could this team be if their talent had been served properly from day one? That makes me even more angry.
That
we don't even need to be in this spot. If Byron Leftwich can take over... And that offense can play the Chiefs that close until the offensive line fell apart. Then this the defense did what they did. Then they're really not that far away from winning, and that gets me mad. But we're going to find out if the difference is whether or not this was a trap game. If Kansas City just was looking past the Cardinals.
602-260-9870 to Phoenix and Steve, who's up next here on Big Red Monday. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Vince and Dan. I'm worried about the offensive line, too. In particular, I've been following Mason Cole since the very beginning. I was really impressed with him when you all have interviewed him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with his durability record, starting every high school game and every college game 4 years each, and playing all the different positions in high school and college. But then he didn't even play that much center in college. And then when our starting guy gets hurt the first, you know, in the beginning, all of a sudden, you talk about a steep learning curve. Cole is a rookie. It's tough. It takes time to learn the techniques from college to pro. And then he's got to lead the team. As Wolfley would say, he's command and control. He's the center.
Yeah.
And, I think that that has probably, I'm really rooting for this guy, but I think that that's probably been a major problem in him with the offensive line, because he's just thrown into it, and it takes time to learn.
Yeah, Steve, I think you bring up a good point. Bickley and others have talked about the offensive line being the nerve center of the team.
Yep.
Well, you can use the term center and put it into nerve center, and the center is the nerve center of the offensive line. And I think he's done a commendable job because of that steep learning curve, but
yeah,
it's never ideal to go. The rock of the offensive line going into this year was A.Q. Shipley. He was the only guy that had remained healthy on that line the two previous years. And then he goes down in training camp, as Steve mentioned, and you're grasping at straws. And I think Mason Cole has performed admirably. You know, his grades probably aren't that great. If you want to talk about Pro Football Focus grades or even team grades, they're probably not that great. But I don't think anybody's on that offensive line's got great grades this year.
There's more to life than good grades, Vinny.
Well, yes.
We're both proof of that, right?
That is true.
Right.
But if you want to talk about Josh Rosen suffering through a rookie season and just learning by reps, baptism by fire, you can make that same claim for Mason Cole.
Yeah.
Mason Cole's going to be part of this line next year, and I think this experience, as negative as it's going to be for 2018, is going to pay dividends in the future.
Okay, and yes, and I hope all of this is true. And they do have the opportunity to get better overnight, this football team does,
uh-huh.
because they're going to have a high-leverage draft pick, and they are going to have a lot of money in cap space to spend. Can they do it wisely? Do you trust Steve Keim to build this offensive line to the state that it has to be? We had one listener point out on Twitter, the Cardinals with Kevin Cobb, they were 4-0 in 2012 before the offensive line got him annihilated, mm-hmm. and they lost 11 of their last 12 games.
Yeah.
Okay. The offensive line when the Cardinals made the playoffs under Carson Palmer when they made the championship game, that offensive line fared okay.
Yeah.
But
a lot of that was continuity. They stayed relatively healthy that year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. The continuity is a big thing. The stability is a big thing. But there's also been a lot of wasted draft picks that have come through here. And we mentioned some of them. Dorian Johnson. I mean, remember how they raved about him?
He was a guy that the early talk, and I know there's a lot of early talk on draft picks for every team, but the early talk was, wow, he might step in at one of those guard spots and start from day one. Not only did he not start, he didn't even make the team.
Yeah.
So you're right about that, too. There's been a lot of swings and misses in the draft at the offensive line positions, too. Some high draft picks, some middle draft picks, some late draft picks. They've missed at all three levels of the draft, really, at offensive line. Let's go out to Chandler and talk to Mike here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Mike.
Going. Listen, long-time Cardinal fan, season ticket holder, and trying to be neutral, which is hard to be when you're a fan. I kind of compare Steve Wilks to Norv Turner, you know, one of those guys that was meant to be a great coordinator, but maybe not quite meant to be a head coach. You know, that first minute of the game yesterday was so frustrating. 2 weeks to get ready, and we looked like we were playing high school football. And you got to put some of that on the coach, and I'm hoping maybe with, just like we talked about the players, with a little bit of time, he's a rookie head coach, maybe he'll get better. But I hope he doesn't fall into that, you know, Wade Phillips, North Turner scheme where they really just weren't meant to be head coaches. So I'm still thinking positive. I'm glad we got Rosen, David Johnson. had a really good game. And it doesn't matter whether it's Kansas City, it's still the National Football League. So let's hope for a great game against the Raiders.
David Johnson, David Johnson did some things yesterday that were very good, but he's also fallen in this habit, Vinny, of just putting his head down when he runs and going down too easily. There were times when he trucked his guy a little bit yesterday, which was good to see. He's got to do more of that. He has got to run with his head up and his eyes downfield. He is just I don't know what it is. But it's almost as if he is now suddenly worried about getting hurt when he never was in the past.
Yeah, and I think part of what we saw yesterday was partly David Johnson. I think partly it was the defense that they were playing and able to run, create some room for David Johnson to run through like we haven't seen. And I think part of it, too, was philosophy. Byron Leftwich was dead set on sticking with that run game, even, throughout the game, 21 carries.
Yep.
Is that the most he's had this year?
Yes.
Yeah, so 98 yards, and people will look at David Johnson's yardage total and say, well, that was a positive. And I agree. They used him the way we're used to seeing David Johnson get used, but still, he had over 70% of the Cardinals' offense. I mean, it used to be David Johnson would get his and create opportunities for others, and those opportunities for others weren't there. So is that putting a Band-Aid on what are bigger offensive issues when you look at David Johnson's output and go, oh, the offense is getting better? And David Johnson himself said, yeah, this was a good offensive game.
Well, yeah, as he was complimenting how they returned to what they did well in 2016 and 17.
Yeah.
And it's the stuff that infuriates me, because it's one thing to draft guys and think they're going to be better than they turn out to be. It's one thing to get good players who get hurt. It's another thing to put in a coaching staff and a system that doesn't serve their talent. And I'm mad about it, because that's exactly what I told Mike. What I was told Mike McCoy's specialty was working around his talent. That didn't happen here. Mm-hmm. Now, it might have been something as elementary as just installing something too difficult for people to understand, as Wolf says, trying so hard to outsmart a defense, you outsmart your own players. That's inexcusable. Mm-hmm. Coaching is about reaching and teaching and lifting and elevating. And it's just been the exact opposite. Then you see a game like yesterday and you go, did this even have to happen? I mean, did we really have to be here at 2-7? Maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise. Maybe this will be like the 1 year the Colts stunk and they were able to transition from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Maybe this will be the humble pie everybody needs, providing the draft picks where you can fleece some other team, trade down just a bit, go get N'Keal Harry and some other stuff, then have a lot of money to spend and supplement it. Maybe, but it's just maddening to watch in real time.
Let's go out to Gilbert and talk to Vince here on Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday. Hey, Vince.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I hear everything, and it's a dialogue that can just go on and on and on and on. The Cardinals are exactly what everybody thought they were going to be. This is a 4-win team, maybe a 5-win team. And yesterday they should have lost by 50, but they didn't. They somehow did. You know, they remind me of, Bick, you'll remember this. It's, remember the 78-77 Bears?
Oh yeah,
Walter Payton, Revisori,
Bob Avellini,
Bob Thomas. They were as good as they could be, and they had Walter Payton, but they still couldn't block for him.
Yeah, true.
I mean, this team is who they are, and they're trying really hard, but they're as good as this. They are who we thought they were. This is it. They're as good as they can be. It's just frustrating because every facet of the team needs help.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just time.
Yeah, you might be onto something. I don't know how you can't defend what they've done to the offensive line, and I guess you can't ignore the injuries they've suffered along the way. So I don't know where you go with it, but I think that it's gotten away from them, and I think they've learned some hard lessons here.
Going back to Vince's comment, they could have lost by 50, but they didn't somehow. And I made the statement earlier this year about ASU when they were going through their growing pains in the game against Stanford and the game against Washington and the game against Colorado, three games that they lost. I kind of accused them, especially that Washington game, kind of accused them of game planning just to keep it close.
Right. That's right. And they were.
And they were, but they didn't win the game.
No. So,
do you think that was kind of the strategy yesterday, game plan-wise, with the Cardinals? Keep it close and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle on a
maybe,
player or two?
Maybe.
I mean, that's... And maybe that was wise for them in that circumstance going into that atmosphere.
Well, it was, you know, again, the offensive approach before the offensive line broke down was smart and focused, and you say to yourself, man, if they could have only had a guy like Byron Leftwich in from the start of training camp, and why did they not know, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, why was everyone so happy and enthusiastic about this team if they didn't understand this offense? Doesn't that, I won't say bother you, but doesn't that interest you?
Yeah. Perplex?
Yeah.
Maybe the word?
Yeah, good word.
Let's squeeze in one more call. Appreciate all the phone calls today. Greg and Chandler, you're up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hey, Greg.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So a couple things I noticed. You know, I love Patrick Peterson. I mean, I've been a big fan of his since he joined the team, since he was drafted. But I didn't feel like he was putting out 100% effort yesterday. It just seemed like he got burned a couple times and was, you know, just out there. Not sure if this zone defense is really his best fit. And then secondly, I just felt like I was watching Carson Palmer all over again because Rosen kept getting knocked down. The O-line wasn't giving him any kind of protection. That's about it. I'll take my answer offline.
Thanks, Greg. Certainly on the second part, you could draw similarities between what we saw with Carson Palmer and Josh Rosen. The common thread there being everybody marveling at how tough they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, how they get up and they forget about the last play and they're, you know, willing and ready to deliver a nice pass on the next play. But that's not ideally how you're going to, keep a quarterback healthy or win consistently in this league.
No, that's exactly right. And it's in, again, the development of Josh Rosen, you've got to let him read the field or he's never going to develop. That's going to be what makes him a great quarterback. You can't have him suddenly getting his eyes down, because that's what have been one of the great things about him, his toughness. Cardinals offensive line better not pound that out of him.
What do you think about the Patrick Peterson point? I'm never going to accuse a professional, an all-pro like that, of not putting out 100% effort. The beginning of the game was disappointing for everybody on the defensive side of the ball. And otherwise, what was a pretty good performance.
How could you be that confused or miscommunicate on the third play of the game? Or whatever it was. How does that happen that quickly? Well, you know how it happens. I told you, if you're not right, Andy Reid will embarrass you.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
But that also, miscommunication is more common among bad teams than it is good teams.
Which is why they're bad, right?
We had the discussion last week about the Suns and that end game situation against Boston. How do you not know? Well, it was miscommunication. Well, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Because you're a bad team. That start of the game was very indicative of a bad team, especially coming off a bye week with 2 weeks to focus. Tyreek Hill was the focus, at least verbally, from everything that they said to the media going into the game. And he's the guy that burns you for 75 yards and a touchdown on the first
drive. And what did that do, do you think, to the Chiefs' focus in that game? To score that quickly, that easily on a team that they thought stunk to begin with.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, thanks for all the phone calls. It's Monday. We'll hand out some hardware next. Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on ArizonaSports.com reads, after David Johnson had his best game of the year against the Chiefs, is he primed for a strong second half of the season? Your choices, yes, the Cardinals are starting to use Johnson more effectively. No, the Chiefs' defense isn't one of the best in the NFL. Or not sure. Need to see more games with Leftwich as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes because he has to. He's too good to not be producing.
All right, I'll cast the vote for
you.
55% agree with you. Yes, Cardinals are starting to use Johnson more effectively. 32% say not sure. Need to see more games with Leftwich as the offensive coordinator. 12% said nope. The defense of the Chiefs, not one of the best in the NFL. However you feel, you can have your voice heard and your vote cast in today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Handing out the hardware.
We do it every Monday. It's our version of the award show. Hardware is brought to you by Revitalize. Start making changes that will last a lifetime with Revitalize. 480-435-3557 or online at fatlossphoenix.com. What do you got for your first award,
Vinny? My first award, Vinny, is the Battle Cry Award, and I feel a little sheepish because I wasn't aware of this until you told me about it, but it's too good for me not to use as my first award. And the Battle Cry Award is going to Quentin Nelson, guard for the Indianapolis Colts, who was mic'd up during a game, and he just destroys a safety and is screaming like Braveheart in the process of it all.
Look, they said that kid was an instant upgrade to any offensive line because of how good he was at Notre Dame, and he has made the Indianapolis Colts offensive line that much better. You know, Andrew Luck hasn't been sacked in, I think, three or four straight games.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, this guy was the sixth pick overall, and this guy was about as can't-miss as you're going to find outside of Joe Thomas.
I remember once upon a time, I forget who the team was, but they drafted a guard number 7 overall. And that didn't work out.
Yeah, that's true. That didn't work out. And neither did that Levi Brown guy, by the way.
True.
Jonathan Cooper is whom you're referring to, obviously.
Yeah.
By the way, Quentin Nelson became, and this is a couple weeks ago, the first guard to ever be named NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Month, which he did in the second month of football.
Yeah, he might be the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
That's insane.
As a lineman. That's how good he's been. Keep an eye on him, but yeah, if you get a chance to hear that audio, it's fantastic.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. My first award is the Finding New Ways to Be Terrible Award, and I'm giving it to the New York Jets, who not only lost, they got embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills with Matt Barkley at quarterback. Yeah, that Matt Barkley, they got crushed, but it was one particular play, one particular snap of the football that stood out. And just really spoke to the level of ineptitude of the Jets. And we have the audio from the referee in that game.
There were multiple fouls during the play, all by the offense. Holding, number 10, is declined. Holding, number 68, is also declined. Holding, number 86, is accepted. 10-yard penalty, we play first down.
That's unbelievable.
Sums up the Jets season right now.
Yeah, it does. And there was just a shot of Todd Bowles on the sidelines with this look on his face like, oh, no. I've watched football for a long time.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
That's
three holding penalties on one play on the same team?
That's unbelievable. Do they even have enough officials set in places to see that?
Yeah. So, the Jets are going to be looking for a new head coach.
Yeah.
The doubt is over.
The question becomes, how soon does that happen? And if Todd Bowles has a landing spot in Arizona?
Because of the job he did in New York was so impressive.
Got to have players, brother. Okay, we'll just leave that hanging.
Yeah, like you said, you got to have players.
Yeah, right. Exactly. My next award is the This Is Why You Don't Gamble Award, and I'm giving it to LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, whom, I don't know if you saw this, they were a 13-point favorite over Arkansas. They were blowing them out early, 24-3. Arkansas scores a couple of late touchdowns. They put in reserves. LSU gives the ball to Nick Brossette near the goal line, and he runs to the one-yard line, could have cakewalked his way into the end zone, and he tackled himself to keep the clock rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that right there made bettors go insane. Okay? But then LSU ran two plays after that again, including one where they tried to score and one where the guy took a knee again. So in the span of this little chunk of red zone offense, all this money was wavering in the air. Which way are we going to go? And twice an LSU player took the knee before going in to keep the clock going.
Wow.
They call it the ultimate bad beat. The worst way you can lose a bet happened in this LSU-Arkansas game. Don't bet, folks.
Yeah, take that from Dan Bickley, who just won a bet this week.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. My next award is the You Couldn't Do That If You Tried Award. And it goes to Dirk Cutter and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dirk Cutter took over play calling duties from Todd Monken this week for the Bucs. And the Bucs have been a rather prolific offense.
Yeah.
They lose yesterday 16-3 to the Washington Redskins at home, despite the fact that they had 501 yards of offense. first time that's ever happened in the history of the NFL. Of course, they turned the ball over four times. Two interceptions from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Could you imagine having 500 yards and 3 points at any level of football? That is unheard of.
Yeah.
Derek Cutter's going to get fired, too. So all these former Arizona coaches are just going to be on the unemployment line.
Yeah. My next award is the Hands of Stone Award, and I'm not giving it to Roberto Duran. I'm giving it to New Orleans head coach Sean Payton, who got really enraged at fire alarms that were going off in the visiting locker room at Paul Brown Stadium, probably thinking, yeah, they're messing with us. And he just destroyed one. I don't know if you saw the picture of it. I don't even know what he could have used to destroy it. But he went nutso in the locker room before the game.
Yeah. And then his team responded with a 37-point win.
They're good.
Two teams scored
they're
over
good.
50 this week in
they're
the NFL.
Good.
My next award is the This Is for the Birds Award. All four teams named for birds in the NFL yesterday.
Oh, no,
lost.
No.
Cardinals lost. Falcons lost. Eagles lost. Seahawks lost. The only team that walked away unscathed was the Baltimore Ravens, who were on a bye. That is Hardware. We do it every Monday here on the show. Tomorrow's Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving away tickets to see Muse live in concert. Just be listening at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 p.m. And you could be headed to their Simulation Theory World Tour February 26th at Talking Stick Resort Arena. Coming up, big weekend for ASU. They took care of business again and are still in the driver's seat in the Pac-12 South. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
At the end, we found a way to win another game, which is important. So I'm happy for the coaches, for the players, for all the administrators. These guys got themselves eligible for a bowl. And that's always important, I think, especially for coaches, because you get to practice. And that's, and we need a lot of practice.
ASU head coach Herm Edwards on Saturday after his Sun Devils went out and beat UCLA on Senior Day 31-28. Tight game. UCLA had chances at the end. And I heard Doug say this morning, and he's exactly right. The turnout attendance-wise wasn't great. In fact, there was a lot of people that left early. The fans that stuck around made a difference on that last drive because UCLA had the ball
got
with
scary.
A chance to win the game. And the crowd got loud enough. Wilton Spate, the quarterback, pointed it out after the game in one of his quotes, too. They caused two false starts with running clocks, which means 20 seconds of runoff time, and effectively cinched that game for ASU. And here we are, two games remaining on the schedule, and ASU's two wins away from playing for a Pac-12 championship, which is really unfathomable.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because that penalty, as I was watching the game, that was the moment where you could finally breathe. We're like, okay, that runoff on the clock, they're not going to come back now.
Mm-hmm.
Props to Herm Edwards and that program for getting to six victories at this point in the season. It's stunning to me. I wonder a lot of things. Number one, Eno Benjamin is going to go down as, just like you said, and you're the first to say this, but I'm on board with you now, one of the favorite, best running backs I've ever seen at ASU. Love watching that kid play football. Wonder why he could not get on the field last year.
Because they kept giving the ball to Kalen Balazs.
Right. Who ran exactly the opposite of Eno Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the damage Eno Benjamin could do if he had Kalen Balazs' body and his own temperament? So that to me is a big takeaway. He had another excellent game, and
just the workload that he's been able to shoulder too. 34 more carries on Saturday for 182 yards and a touchdown. Manny Wilkins runs for two. They ran the ball well with Isaiah Floyd. 281 yards net on the ground for the Sun Devils against UCLA.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because in a year when we see a guy like Le'Veon Bell protest playing football against for the Steelers because he doesn't want the workload, here's a kid who isn't getting paid to play football, shouldering it all.
Yeah, because you have to show that to get paid to play football, to be in the position
that's right.
to say,
that's
I don't
right.
want this workload, I'm protecting
that's
myself.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
You know, Benjamin, we know he's got seven 100-yard games so far. Three of those have come against defenses that were top 10 in the nation at the time. So this is real work he's doing. And it's making a big-time difference. I agree with you that on Saturday, for an afternoon game, and I've seen this 2 weeks in a row now from ASU, there's a real home field advantage at Sun Devil Stadium now.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it the last 2 weeks, and both of them have been day games, which is kind of contrary to intuitive thinking, that the later the day goes, the more the drinks flow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get craziness. Yet, no, this is happening organically. And you saw how emotional Manny Wilkins was. I think you and I, when we were riffing on this last week, I think we were onto something.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a player as emotional taking the field being introduced on senior day. I mean, Manny Wilkins was weeping.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I thought about that, and I don't know if you heard of Gamble on Friday. He wanted them to allow N'Keal Harry to take the field because he's not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
And Burns, he's like, no way. And I'm like, come on, Gamble, that's ludicrous. He's not a senior. You don't honor guys when they're juniors.
But, imagine if they did that in college basketball. You'd have freshmen being introduced.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
One and done day.
One day.
And there's no emotion at all. Everybody feels right. Like, hey, I used right. You. You used me.
It's all good.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Right, right.
All the great memories. I remember that class I went to.
Give me a framed jersey and let me leave here.
Now, I agree with you that their defense took a step back against UCLA. You gave up nearly 450 yards to an offense that you should not be giving that up to.
Yeah, I thought the run defense was okay. But we talked about, on the Cardinals front going into that game, you're concerned primarily defensively, and there's a lot of things to slow down on that Chiefs offense, but Tyreek Hill is at the top of the list. He comes out and burns you.
Yeah.
For ASU, it was a much shorter list of things that can hurt you defensively.
Yeah.
Caleb Wilson, the tight end, was at the top of that list, but man, they weren't ready for that.
No.
Herm Edwards said after the game, we tried everything. We could not slow that guy down. It was almost the difference in the game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
11 catches, 164 yards, and 2 touchdowns for that kid.
Wow. So I think now that they've done the impossible. They've won 3 games in a row in November now. Well, not all 3 in November, but we're in November and ASU has a 3-game winning streak. In years past, whether it was Dennis Erickson or Todd Graham, that's not the dynamic we're used to. We're used to teams that maybe start fast and then clunkety clunk clunk, you know, near the finish line. So you got this game in Oregon next Saturday that could set up the mother of all territorial cups. And I know we've talked about this before, about big territorial cups. Would they get any bigger than, I guess, the year between Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez was pretty big.
That one down in Tucson, that was for the South.
That was for the South. And this one will be for the South as well, at least from ASU's vantage point.
And, but, I mean, ASU had opportunities in the 80s to go to a couple Rose Bowls, and went down to Tucson and were knocked out. And there's been bigger ones. This one would be unexpectedly big, especially if Arizona wins this next week.
Now, so when you tie in the defense,
which I don't think they will.
You don't think they're going to win?
They got Washington State.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about ASU against Arizona. No, I agree with you.
Arizona's going up to Pullman to play a late night kickoff at Martin Stadium.
I agree with you. They're not winning that game, although they will have had a bye week to prepare. I don't know what that means. But these games against Oregon have been crazy in recent years. Crazy. Remember that 61-55 game that they played?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was insanity.
I just caught up on my sleep from that game.
Right. That was insanity. So I don't know how you win this game against Oregon without the defense making huge strides, but Danny Gonzalez will have their attention this week, particularly after giving up the chunks that they did to UCLA.
Well, they got to feel pretty good. Oregon's not playing great lately. They played in Salt Lake City against a Utah team that everybody was throwing dirt on their coffin because their quarterback was out and the running back was out. They ran all over Oregon's defense. So I think that defense is susceptible. ASU is going to go to Eugene and say, no secret on what we're going to try to do. We're going to run the ball. I mean, if Arma and Shine can get 174 yards on Oregon, what can Eno Benjamin do?
Yeah. Well,
that's got to be the key.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think in this situation, the blueprint's there. I mean, ASU can be physical. They can pound the football. The fact that they've even got this opportunity is just mind-blowing to me. Just mind-blowing.
Here, I don't want to put the cart too far ahead of the horse, but just think about something. With everything, from what we learned in December when this hire was made, leading up to the strange press release and all the criticism that Arizona State took, Then that swoon in the middle of the season where they lost 3 out of 4 or whatever it was. ASU has a chance, if everything goes right, to finish with 10 wins. They have 6 right now. They have Oregon and Arizona left. They could go to the Pac-12 championship game, and if they won their bowl game,
they could which would be
the Rose Bowl.
Wins.
They could still get to 10 wins.
That's why we all love sports, man. The unpredictable beauty. That's why we love college sports. The unpredictability of it all. You just don't know.
Yeah. Big game coming up at Eugene Autzen Stadium this Saturday. Those early kickoffs, those are over. 8:30 Arizona time kickoff on Saturday night. So we'll see if the Sun Devils can keep it up. Coming up next, you know what's coming next. We're halfway through on a Monday, the Blast, the weekend edition. Straight ahead, it's Pickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.